goodbye. Yes, I'm gonna take a trip in a good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. And I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring when I'm bidding this world goodbye.
Amen. Amen. They have these things they call party barges.
Come on.
Well, I dare say that will be the ultimate party barge as we go on to meet our reward.
Yes,
amen.
Come on.
We're going to have a good time all the time. Amen. God is good. Amen. Well, before I go, if you did not get a chance to hear the message this morning, I don't know how you can do it, but if you possibly can get your hands, maybe he's got it recorded, maybe he's got it, did he tape it? You need to get a copy of that service this morning. You missed it. That's all I can say. You missed a remarkable service.
Yeah.
It is a service that truly can change your life. And it was his wish this morning that all of our leadership, but it's good for everybody. It was talking about duty. And serving God sometimes is a bit of a drudgery. It gets where you don't want to do some things, but it's called duty. And you do it anyway.
Right.
And when you do it, when you do what you're supposed to do, even in the face of everything else, all opposition, everything that comes your way, if you will continue doing what you're supposed to do, it will take care of itself.
Right.
I encourage you, get a copy of that service. It was a blessing, and everybody deserves to be blessed by a good teaching and good message like that. It is encouragement. So please do that. That's just my advice to you. It was good. Get it. Amen. But it's time for the preached word of God again. And so to do the honors is our pastor. Let's stand and give the Lord a hand clap of praise as our pastor comes this evening.
Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Good to see you here tonight. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to have Brother Robbie back tonight.
Amen.
Amen. And by the help of the Lord, feeling better. Praise God. Amen. Good to have a young man here I haven't seen since he was just a little bitty boy. And church. I got to see him at his house one day. Brother Eve's, good to have you here, and your wife, good to see you. Thank you so much for being here today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I feel Jesus in this place. I'm going to turn to the book of Genesis, reading from the 35th chapter. Amen. The book of Genesis, chapter number 35. And I will be reading the 6th and 7th verses if you'd like to turn there with us tonight. And let me add tonight my recommendation to Brother Raymond. This morning's message was so very rich. If you heard it, you still need a copy of it, because there's no way you could get out of that message even a small portion of what was in it. It had so very, very much into it. We will be having Brother Weiser back in the future, and you will be enriched by his ministry. And it was just really, really a tremendous message. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. I want to preach tonight about this subject, the call of a place called home. You may be seated. Home. I've heard it said, you can't go home again. But there's something about the calling of a place called home. Everybody has some place in your mind, a place that's home. And even as I speak tonight, some of you have a little image that comes through your mind of a place that was called home. And it may not be where you live now. You may have lived many places since then, but there's just something about a place where you have pleasant memories, and that is a place called home. God put into the spirit of people something special about a place called home. I saw a picture this week of advertisement concerning the military, and all you could see was the back of, I presume to be the wife, and the big old strong arms and the face of a soldier that had come home. And his face, my, what a story it told. There's no way that you could put into words a description of the expression that was there. His eyes were closed tightly, and there were tears in the creases and trickling down his cheeks, and you could see just, what is it, that sense of release and that sense of relief and that sense of hope realized, and that hope, that all those dreams, and I made it, I'm here, can't believe I'm home again. There's something about a place called home. We do what we call vacation. And we got to get away from this place. I've had it. Amen. And you're gone for a few days, and there's something inside that starts saying it's time to go home. No matter where you are, there's something on the inside that says it's time to go home. And when you've been gone a few days and you walk in and flip on the lights, my, it looks like home. Amen. It smells like home. We got home from a trip back in the summer. We took a few days and come back, and it was great to be home. I come down to my office, and it's always such a, it's good to be there. I flipped on the light, and it didn't smell like my office. Because a little mouse had been caught sometime during the time I left and the time I got home. And he was rather right by the time I got here. But I quickly fixed that situation, and it's just good to be home. God put that in animal life. If you've seen pictures of salmon as they fight their way in the northwest back up those streams, and they fling their gleaming bodies out of the water, and they've only been there one time, but there's something about that fish that it's got to get back to the place that it was spawned, and it's going to lay its eggs there before it breathes its final breath. And multiplied thousands die on the journey, but every one of them have something in them that says, I've got to get back to home. There is a bird called a tern that makes a journey of several thousand miles across the Pacific Ocean. It's an aeronomic miracle that he can do that. That God designed that little bird in such a way that he doesn't, because there's no place to stop crossing the ocean.
There are no trees to rest in. There's no food supply anywhere. And yet God designed that little bird. I believe God, I don't believe evolution designed him. I believe God did. I believe God designed and put in the heart of that little bird something that propels him on that journey of more than 1,000 miles across the crest of the ocean. There's something in its little breast that beats and says, I've got to get home. And he presses on against weariness and against hunger, and he just keeps on flying with an unfailing compass to that little island in the middle of a sea. God put it in his heart for a place called home. Even criminals. Did you know most criminals are caught at a place called home? They can run and they can hide, but there's something on the inside of even a criminal that says, I want to go home. And law enforcement has decided that the best place to watch is home. Because sometime, it may be a long time, but at some point in time they're going to say, I want to go home. We read about a young man in the scripture tonight. He was quite a fella. The Bible said God loved him. Now, he was quite a stinker, like some of us. But God saw something in Jacob that he loved. He had some rough edges, but God knows what to do with rough edges. You hear me? God's got a grinding process. He knows how to get rid of rough edges. And Joseph, or Jacob, was a young man that had some rough edges, but he was a young man that understood what really mattered in life. He could perceive the things that were of real value in life. Whereas his brother Esau was only controlled by his appetites. I've got to have what I want, and I've got to have it now, regardless of what it costs me. We live in a world that most generally now is ruled by its appetites. Got to have, we're in an economic crisis. I'll tell you what caused it. People having too much appetite for things they can't afford. Amen. Well, and I'm not going to get into the political side of it. Amen. Praise God. But it's a little hard for me to have too much compassion for somebody that, you know, bought a house that they knew that they would never be able to pay for. When they had an opportunity to buy one that they could have paid for. Amen. I'm not without compassion, but folks, that's the solution to this thing. Just get back to where people can live with things they can pay for. I mean, that won't cost anything extra, but it was good anyway. Amen. So many people live today by their appetites. I want what I want, and I want it now. Amen. And they go to look at something, and it's not how much does it cost, but it's how much are the payments. You better look at that bottom line. Amen. It's not, how long can I finance it? And how little can I make? I just got to have it. Well, that was Esau. But Jacob was a man that saw value in life. And he saw something that he wanted that he knew that he'd probably never get. But he knew the value of it. One writer said, we live in an age where people know the cost of everything and the value of nothing. And so he saw something. His brother had it. He couldn't get it because it was his father's to give. But he saw the value of it. And one day his brother came in from hunting in the field, kind of been a bad day. And he was cooking some stuff and kind of fanned his brother's direction. And he knew about his appetite. And he said, "Hey, brother, come over here. Doesn't that smell good?" Amen. And his brother said, "Give me some of those peas in the pot." And Jacob said, "Well," he said, I will for a price." He said, "What do you want? Give me your birthright." You see, the firstborn, although they were twins, because his brother was born just a few seconds before he was, his brother would get two-thirds of what his father had, and he would only get one-third of what his father had. Just separated by seconds. But also coming with that was an honor that he would be the spiritual leader of the family, and the blessings of God would rest upon the firstborn in a special way. And Jacob saw that and understood its value, and he said, "I want your birthright." Of course, his brother probably in the back of his mind thought, "Well, I can give him the birthright because it's not really mine to bestow. My dad's going to give the birthright anyway. It doesn't matter what I say." But flippantly, he said, "All right, you can have the birthright. What good is it going to do me if I die of starvation?" Well, I doubt that was going to happen anytime soon. Amen. We use that phrase, don't we? "I'm starving to death." Huh? Well, I don't see that too much around here. Most of us got a little spare. Some of us got a lot of spare. Amen. I don't think there's a whole lot of chance of that happening anytime soon. But we know how Esau felt. "I'm starving to death. Gotta have something. Gotta have it right now." And sold his birthright. With the mother that loved him, he connived. And perhaps you know the story. His brother was a hairy man. Jacob was a smooth skinned man, didn't have a lot of hair. And so they went and killed a goat, and he took the hair and put it on his arm so he'd feel hairy because his father was blind. Put it on the back of his neck because it'd be touching him there. And he goes in and prepares a meal for his father. Probably his dad's taste buds by this time are not all that hot anyway. And so he prepared him what goat that was prepared like venison. And he goes in and he says, I'm Esau. And he goes in to deceive his own father. And his dad said, "Well, you know, you sound to me like Jacob. Come near. Let me feel of you." Got over there and he felt that goat's hair on the back of his hands and grabbed the back of his neck and felt all that hair. He said, "Well, you're hairy like Esau. You must be Esau." And so his father then begins to pray a blessing on him that was his and his only to give. And he prayed that blessing on him. I believe we can still pray blessings on our children. And I still believe we can bring curses on our children. Amen. We've got to be careful how we live our lives, folks. There's somebody following in your footsteps. Amen. Be careful how you live your life. Be careful the things you allow into your home. Be careful the things you allow your children to see and do. Amen. Doesn't matter what's popular. Doesn't matter what other folks are doing. You be careful what you do. Because you can bring blessing in the life of your child. Or you can bring curses in the life of your child. And so he prays a blessing upon Jacob. And he gives him the blessing. Amen. And he believed that. And Jacob received that. And a few minutes later, Esau walks in. And he says, "Dad, I'm here and I got just what you wanted." And he hears his voice. And Jacob says, or Israel says to his son Esau, he says, "I have no other blessing to give. I've already given it to your brother." Amen. Well, he gave a blessing to Esau, but it was a second-hand, second-rate blessing. It wasn't what was his, but God saw it in his heart that he didn't value what he was given. Folks, we need to value what we have here. We need to understand what a treasure this is. God help us. We need to value the presence of the Lord. Every time we come in this place, we need to understand how hallowed this place is. We need to understand how special this place is. And when the presence of the Lord is going, you heard it this morning, we need to praise whether we feel like praising or not. We need to sing whether we feel like singing or not. We need to worship whether we feel like worshiping or not. We need to be here whether we feel like coming here or not. We need to pray whether we feel like praying or not. Because there's something special about the presence of the Lord. I know that it's different every time that we come. We can't program God. He's going to have His way if we'll let Him. But let's treasure His presence above all other things. Amen. He was a man that knew how to treasure the right things. And he had to run for his life. If you recall the story, Esau said, I'm going to kill him. So he had to leave home. He ran to a place called Haran. He had an uncle that lived there. And so he had to leave home to get there. The Bible tells the beautiful story in the 28th chapter of Genesis that as Jacob fled for his life from his brother Esau, he came to a place, at that time it was called Luz. And he stopped at this place called Luz. He was weary. He was exhausted. He'd been running. And he had a long way to go. He had nothing much with him. And the Bible said he gathered some stones and he let one of them down to make a pillow. That's pretty desperate when you get a rock to make a pillow out of. He's weary. He lays down. He lays his head on that stone. And in exhaustion he falls asleep. And in his sleep he sees this incredible dream. And there's a ladder that is going up from earth toward the heaven. And at the top of the ladder, the glory of God, and ascending and descending upon that ladder are the angels of the Lord. And a voice begins to speak to him. And he sees that dream, and he's amazed at that dream. And he wakes up suddenly, and he says, surely the presence of the Lord was in this place. And here's the travesty. And I knew it not. It always bothers me when the Holy Ghost is moving and people are clipping their fingernails, talking to one another, sleeping. Kind of bothers me a little bit. Now, I understand weariness. I'm not really critical here. But I'm just saying, I'd rather have you sleep here than not come at all. So if you're sleepy, come on. I'll take you sleepy rather than not at all. Amen. It's encouraging to see somebody sitting on the pew. And when you're not here, I'm concerned about where you are. When you're sleeping, I at least know where you are. Amen. So come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But here he was in a place where the presence of the Lord was. So I didn't know it. God spoke to him some certain things. And this is what he said. The Lord said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the land whereon thou layest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I'm with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Amen. My, what a promise. My, what a promise. And what God said, God does. The Bible says that Jacob changed the name of that place. To others it was called Luz, which simply means the place. But to Jacob, he said, this is Bethel. Amen. This is the house of God. Hallelujah. To other people, it's just a place where there's a pile of rocks. He said, but to me, this is a cathedral. To me, this is a holy temple. To me, this is Bethel. To me, this is home. He made a vow to the Lord there. He said, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my Father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give thee the tenth. He makes a promise. Amen. Makes his journey. And I told you before that God knows how to get the rough edges off. Yes, now Jacob was a conniver. He was always, when he looked at something, he said he found a way to get what he wanted no matter what he had to do. He didn't mind cheating. He didn't mind lying. He didn't mind deceiving. He said, I'm going to get what I want. So you know who God hooked him up with? His uncle. And his uncle was a master at it. So when he gets there, one of the first things happened, he falls in love with this girl. And his dad said, well, we got this custom here that if you'll work 7 years for me, since you're penniless, you don't have anything to give me, but if you'll work 7 years, he said, I'll give you this girl for your wife. Man, he worked 7 years. And come the wedding day. Amen. Time to kiss the bride. Lift the veil. And lo and behold, it was the sister, not the one he loved. And his uncle says, oh, I forgot that little detail. You see, we have this custom that the eldest daughter has to get married first. Oh, but if you'll work 7 more years, then I'll give you the bride that you're looking for. You see, he got hooked up with a hooky shyster that was worse than he was. If you're in some shady deals, God knows how to deal with shady deals. Amen. And if you're rubbing shoulders with some stuff in life and you're wondering, what in the world is God doing? He's getting some rough edges off. You might want to inspect your character just a little bit. You might want to see what some of those things are that God's working on. Amen. And so he got tied to his uncle, and you know, but before it was all over, he would even learn how to do it better than his uncle. Amen. And he learned how to get wealthy in the house of a man that was trying to best him. But God bless Jacob. God bless Jacob. I don't understand that deal with driving the stakes in the ground. You know, and watching the cows supposed to come down there and somehow they wind up with stripes on them. Amen. Now, I'll tell you what I really think happened. I think God put stripes on them. Because I don't really think a cow looking at a steak is going to put steaks on him. Or stripe, that's not going to happen. But God knows how to do that. Amen. Scientifically, it's impossible. This doesn't happen. Amen. That's what they call natural adaptation, and it doesn't work. Now, that was one of the great things about proven evolution, if I can digress a minute, is that you know that if you live in a certain thing long enough, then you change. So they said, well, what we're going to do, we're going to make a tailless mouse. And so when a mouse was born, they'd cut his tail off. And it would reproduce, and it would produce a mouse with a tail on, and they'd cut it off. And they did that for generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. And you know what? Every mouse still had a tail. It didn't matter how many cut off. When it was born, it had a tail. Because natural adaptation is in the DNA. And what it is what it reproduces. It had a tail even if it was cut off, so it produces an offspring with a tail. So God had to intervene, didn't he? And he did in a special way. And God blessed Jacob and made a way for him. Praise the Lord. And Jacob became wealthy in that land. But you know what? In his heart, there was a desire to go home. So finally told his uncle and he told his family one day. He said, I'm going home. I don't know what's going to await me there. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. I don't know, my angry brother, what's happened. But I'm going home. There's just something about it. You just never get away from a place called home. So he leaves and he makes the journey toward his house and he leaves with his wife and he's got trouble in his house. Amen. You think you got trouble with your wife or your spouse? He had double trouble. He had two women that couldn't get along. I've always doubted Solomon's wisdom, at least in that area. Amen. But boy, did he learn. He said it's better to dwell alone on a broad housetop, or on a housetop than in the house with a brawling woman. He said, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So I'm headed for the rooftop. Amen. Pray, good thing you had a big rooftop, wasn't it? Because with 300 wives, everywhere he turned, there was trouble. Amen. He had his struggles. Amen. Jacob got himself in the same situation. Praise God. And so there was strife there. And there was strife between his herdsmen because of his wealth. And everywhere he looked, there was strife. Amen. But he said, I'm going home anyway. So he starts home. Begins his journey. It was a long journey. Amen. He came, gets to a place, at a river. And suddenly some messengers come and said, your brother is coming to meet you and he's got 400 men with him. And Jacob says, I'm in trouble. What am I going to do? And so he sends his family across the river. And he says, only one thing I know to do now. I better have a prayer meeting. So he gets down on his knees and he begins to pray. And I mean, this was not a now I lay me down to sleep prayer. This was not a bless this meal to the nourishment of our bodies prayer. Amen. This was a soul rendering prayer. He got down and he began to pray so severely, so earnestly. The Bible said that there appeared to him an angelic being. And he began to wrestle with that angel of the Lord. And he wrestled with him. And that angel touched his hip and it went out of joint. And pain seared his body. But he kept on wrestling with him. And the Bible said they wrestled all night long. He wrestled with him. And when it got ready to come daylight, the angel said, let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something. That's why God loved Jacob. Because when he got in hold of something, he wouldn't let go of it. When he understood the value of a relationship with God, he said, I'm not letting go of this. Doesn't matter what happens to me. If I'm in pain, I'll wrestle on. If the morning's coming, I'll wrestle on. I've got to have something from God. I got to have a blessing here. And he held on. Amen. Finally, the angel looks and he says, thou art called Jacob, supplanter. He said, but no more. He said, their name shall be called Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God. Amen. His name. Not only was his name changed, but his character was changed. Not only was his character changed, but his situation was changed. When he saw his brother, the Bible said his brother came and hugged him. Hallelujah. And they had a glorious reunion. I'm telling you, God can change things in your life. God can change things that you cannot change. God can change situations that are impossible. God can change people.
I worked for a guy one time, and it was tough working for that guy. Not only him, but the whole bunch. I mean, I was working in the oil field, and it was pretty rough place. And, of course, it was rough enough as things were. But what I hated the most, I didn't mind the work. Didn't bother me. I always liked work anyway. And that wasn't the hard thing. But, boy, what got on me was my name was Worm. Do this, Worm. Do that, Worm. Amen. Boy, I just about had it. I had about all I was going to take. I mean, I was that far. I had the Holy Ghost. And up until that point, the Holy Ghost had me. But I was afraid he was getting ready to lose me. I'd had just about enough of that worm business. Amen. And I was praying, Lord, help me with this. I don't know what we're going to do here. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to get hurt. Amen. But I just can't handle much more of this worm business. Amen. And you know what happened? We had my mom that morning, and she was so spiritually sensitive in service. She didn't know why, but she said, I feel like we need to pray for Johnny today. And she just offered an unspoken request. And you know what? From that service, the rest of the time I was on that job, they never called me Worm again.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. I know that's a silly thing to you, but it was not to me. Amen. I was getting ready to, do something I shouldn't ought to do as a Christian. And the Lord stepped in and changed the situation. Amen. And from that moment on, they started treating me so much better. And the situation changed. And after I left there, although they called me preacher after that, instead of Worm, even though I wasn't a preacher then, they called me that because I was a Christian. And I lived a Christian life. I talked like a Christian. I tried to act like a Christian. Amen. And when they stopped in the afternoon for their cigarettes and beer, I just didn't participate. I got my Dr. Pepper and I was happy. And just didn't participate in that. Didn't participate in profanity and dirty jokes and all the rest of it. And you know what? I earned respect for that. If you'll stand for God, you'll earn people's respect. You'll earn people's respect. And to this day, some of those men still ask, what about the preacher? Amen. Well, he did become one. Amen. But you see, I'm talking about character and how God can change people's lives. Jacob said, I'm going home. I'm going home. And when he got to the place and he stopped at a place called Sukkoth and he built an altar there and God blessed him there and that wasn't home. Went a little further to another place called Shalem and there he built an altar to the Lord, but that wasn't home. And one day the Lord told him, he said, I want you to go back to that place where I first spoke to you when you were fleeing from your brother. I'll meet you there. Amen. Was it the song that Andre Crouch wrote years ago about take me back to the place that I first received you? Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first believed. Once you've had a personal relationship with God and you've had an intimate relationship with God, and when God fills you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there is an indelible mark that's made in your soul and your spirit. And there's something like the drive that's in the salmon swimming upstream, or the tern that's flying across the trackless ocean. There's something on the inside of you, that soul saying, take me back. Take me back. Take me back. Take me back to God. Amen. There's something on the inside that draws us to a place called home. He went to a place called Bethel. He built an altar there to the Lord. God met him there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says
that he built another altar there, and he called this one, not only did he call it Bethel, which means the house of God, but he said this is also El Bethel, which means the God of the house of God. It's one thing to be in the house of God, but it's another thing to meet God in the house of God. People can come to church. People can come to the house of God, we call it, and not meet God here. But what makes it special is when you come to the house of God and you meet God here. And you renew your vows here. And you renew your consecration here. And you hear God's blessings and God's word and God's promises again. In the house of God, we meet God. That's the value of it, folks. It's so valuable tonight. Amen. It's significant, the life of Noah. After Noah had obeyed the Lord, in the face of all of the mocking and the scoffing, working in the heat of the sun, as he built that ark from the ground up, finally the finishing touches were done, and the animals gathered round, and they began to go on to the ark. And it's interesting, the Lord said to Noah, he said, come. Enter in the ark. It's interesting that God didn't say, go into the ark. God said, come into the ark. The reason God said, come, is because that's where he was. If God had simply said, go, it would indicate that he may go with him, but he was not yet there. But God didn't say, go on the ark. He said, come into the ark. Amen. That's the invitation. Come. Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me. The Bible said the Spirit and the bride say, come. The invitation is, it's returning home. There's something about a place called home. Something about a place called home. Would you stand with me tonight? There's something about a place called home. There's no place like it. There's nothing that feels like it. Amen. And once you've had a relationship with God in a special place, you'll always remember that so very much. It'll always be home. The songwriter said, I can tell you the time, I can show you the place where the Lord saved me by his wonderful grace. Amen. That's whenever home was put into your heart. Home. Amen. Praise God. And if you've never been, and there's something on the inside, even as we preach here tonight in this service, I believe that God has put a special stirring in somebody's spirit here tonight. And you may be like that salmon that's swimming up the stream. You left there when you were just a fingerling, and that you don't remember, have no memories of home. But there's just this homing instinct that's on the inside of you that says, I need to get there. There's a place that I don't know anything about, but there's something that's leading me that way. There's something that's drawing me tonight to a place called home. Amen. In this altar tonight, there's an experience that's awaiting somebody. Amen. You may already know where home is. And like the prodigal, it's time to go there. It's time to return and say, Father, I've sinned. And if you'll do that, I promise you one thing.
The minute you step out, he's going to join you, and you'll not make the journey alone. Hallelujah. As the words tumble out of your mouth and out of your spirit, God will meet you with forgiveness, and he'll throw around you the robe of sonship. Slip on your ring, your finger, the ring today of inheritance, and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put the robe of righteousness round your shoulders. Amen. Somebody tonight needs to listen to that little voice that's calling you home. Amen. The altar's open for prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost, talk to us here tonight. Speak to somebody in this house. Amen. Draw somebody. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, there's a place I need to get back to. I've kind of wandered away. There's a place I need to get back to. There's a place of consecration. There's a place of dedication. I need to get back there. Amen. Hallelujah. Speak to me tonight, Jesus. Speak to me tonight, Jesus. Amen. Speak to me tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Take me home. Take me home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's right, folks. Let's gather around the front of this sanctuary tonight. Amen. Let's let the Lord draw us to a place called home. Let's let the Lord draw us to a place called home. There's no place in the world like it. There's no feeling like it. Amen. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be sensitive to the Lord tonight. Be responsive to him tonight. Amen. Don't resist him tonight. Lord, praise God. Don't listen to the voice that says another time. Another time. Amen. Praise God. Another time. This is the time. This is the place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, I've preached my heart out to you and this altar's empty. That disturbs me. That disturbs me. Amen. Praise God. You're not a sinner because you come to the altar. Every saint of God needs to be in the altar. Right. Every saint of God needs to talk to God. Amen. Praise God. We want revival. We need stirring in our spirit tonight. We don't get that by hearing the Word of God saying that was a good sermon, preacher, and go home. Right. Amen. You get it when you respond to it and you find yourself a place to pray and you let God drive that into your spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need to respond to the Word of God. I said, we need to respond to the Word of God. And that's how we respond to the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's how we respond to the Word of God. We listen to Him. We respond to Him tonight. Amen. Praise God. There should never be an empty altar at the end of a service. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There should never be an empty altar at the end of a service. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 This ought to be a place that you love tonight. Praise God. This is a place where you just reconsecrate, rededicate, renew yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, I need you tonight. That's why I come. I'm not perhaps no great need in my life tonight. Maybe everything's going all right, but I just want to come here and tell you how much I love you again. Amen. I want to make this home. Praise God. I want to always come by this place. Amen. I always want to come to Bethel. Praise God. Before I leave, I want to bow my knee. I want to lift my hands. I want to lift my voice. Praise God. I want to tell you that I love you. I want to tell you that I love you. I want to tell you that you're the most important to me. I want to tell you that you mean more than anything in my life.
No,
yes, Jesus.
Make heaven my home.
Hallelujah.
Walk with me, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone.
Postrado, Señor de Espíritu.
For without you, I
delante de tu trono,
could never. No, never make heaven my home. So walk with me, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, no, never make heaven my home.
Y tu bendición. Ayúdame, Señor, en esta noche.
Walk with
estoy,
me, Jesus.
Necesitado. Aquí estoy.
Don't
necesito,
ever
Señor,
leave
ayuda.
Me
tu
alone.
Necesito, Señor, tu ayuda.
For without you, I could never. No, never make heaven my home. So walk,
hallelujah,
walk with me, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone, for without you I could never, no, never make heaven my home. Thank you, Lord.
Guíame, Señor. Guíame, Señor. Guíame, Señor. Guíame, Señor. Guíame, Señor. Guíame, Señor.
walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you I could never make heaven my home. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never know. Make heaven my